Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at EMU. I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our apologies for a little delay here. If you are a regular listener and looked for it last week, the end of the year created quite a bit of busyness, a lot of rainouts, a lot of postponements, moving things around, and it's really difficult for us to find time to sit down here and record a podcast. So we've got a lot to catch up on today, again, nearing the end. We probably won't be able to highlight every game. Hopefully you're looking at emuroyals.com for all the latest, but there are a couple of highlights that we can give to you. First one I'll mention is the hiring of our women's soccer coach. Ted Erickson has agreed to come on to be our next women's soccer coach. Ted's fairly familiar with EMU, and yet one of the things that stood out to the search committee, I believe, was some of the fresh approaches that he may take. He is a graduate of EMU, having played at Harrisonburg High School here in the area, and instead of going to JMU for soccer, chose to come here to EMU, and he talks about how impactful that was on his life and changed the direction and course of some of his aspirations and goals, and played 4 years here, and then over the last 5 years has assisted sometimes, I think, two or three years with the men, 2 years with the women, currently a health and physical education teacher at Skyline Middle School here in the city, and also the boys' high school coach at Harrisonburg High School. And we're really excited about bringing him in. Although he's familiar with who we are and what we do in terms of soccer, I think it'll be somewhat of a fresh approach to connections that he has in the local community as well as beyond. Pretty much of a cheerleader, certainly knows his soccer, well-respected in this area for his knowledge of soccer, both as a player and as a coach. One of the things that was interesting in our looking at it was while this is a while there is a large Hispanic community, and we know how much soccer and Hispanic communities go along together, at Harrisonburg High School, they struggled over the years to get enough players to come out and really good players. And after Ted took over the last 4 or 5 years, I know this year they had over 100 boys come out for the team. And so even though it is a Hispanic community, you say, well, they all just want to play soccer. They weren't doing it before. So that's a credit to Ted and his relational skills. And so we're really excited about it. He has started already in terms of meeting with the team, working on the recruiting piece, picking up from J.P. Blosser, the graduate assistant who's filled in. He can't start here full-time, of course, until he's finished teaching and has finished his coaching duties, but there's always the evening hours, and those are good times to get a hold of the recruits. So he's got to work hard to pick that up, and there were a lot of people waiting to see who we hired, and so he'll be making some phone calls and trying to contact them. But we're really excited about it. We had a really strong candidate pool. And although he has not had a lot of, has had no head coaching experience at the collegiate level, certainly his understanding of the ODAC, and as he said, he really believes that that the women's program can move up into the upper third of the ODAC, and we're looking forward to that. So check out the article that's on our webpage on Ted Erickson, hired as our new women's soccer coach. So we're excited about that. We also are excited because we are coming up on our annual athletic honors banquet next week, in which we are honoring all of our seniors. Got some academic awards as well. Our newcomer of the year, our athlete of the year, and then a president's award we give, plus simply just being together to honor all of the seniors and recognize what they've done. One of the highlights is listening to the stories of four athletes who were chosen by the coaches to talk about their reflections, and it is a good time for them to sit down, even though the spring season isn't over yet, and they haven't sensed or experienced the finality of taking that uniform off the last time, finishing their competitive career as it would relate to educational institutions. And but for these folks, they've typically done a very good job of reflecting back and starting to recognize what it is that they'll take with them. Also, this past week, we had an opportunity to recognize the women's basketball team. A great celebration, something that we felt we really wanted to do because for several reasons. One is, and maybe James would be able to give us a few of the specific details, but they had a significant two-year run here, and we felt both years ended up with an at-large bid, which certainly says something about the body of work throughout, even though they were disappointed in not winning the ODAC championship either year. But seeking that bid and getting the bid and then moving on, but in both cases not playing well and going out in the first round. And so some people just sort of say, well, the season's over. And sometimes we only have the celebrations if you win it. And I think what we wanted to do was look back over the last 2 years. I know this past year they were undefeated at home. They're actually going to next year carry a 15-game winning streak at home in there. In 2 years, they only lost two regular season conference games. So when you begin to look at that, you begin to say, wow, this is a group, and there's three seniors moving out. So we had a chance to celebrate all the accomplishments they've had, some really high praise from some of the faculty and staff that were there, heard from the seniors as well, and they began to take a look at starting to reflect already upon what they're going to take with them into whatever they're doing next. So we've had a couple of really special events here. This past week in Chapel, we were able to recognize all of our student athletes from the winter and spring that have achieved either at our Royal Athlete of the Week or else the conference or region. And of course, a lot of the spring stuff isn't even out yet. So once again, just a great opportunity to celebrate all that goes on and makes us aware. I guess some people would say, why'd you celebrate the women's basketball team because they got second? Well, why not celebrate second? It isn't about first, second, or third. It's about the experience that they're having, and they were phenomenal in what they've done. And Kevin's comments, Coach Griffin's comments about the ways in which they work together. And I know I noted that after being together for at least two or three years, they played with a certain level of confidence, I felt, during the end of the season, that they never really got rattled. And that's certainly something that they're going to take in to their professional life, wherever they happen to be, that after you've done it for a while, you become confident. You don't have to become cocky. You just become confident that you're probably going to go do it. So anyway, we've had a number of celebrations, and it's been a great thing to do. And you have to do it now because, boy, when finals are over and everybody heads out of here, it's over. And done. So those are some of the general comments that I've had in terms of what we've been celebrating. James, if you want to take a look back and just let us know what some of the teams have been doing without, you know, each game, but just kind of where we're at, and both from where we've have been over the last week or two and then where we head into the conference tournaments, which begin very soon.
Sure. The men's volleyball team has wrapped up for the year. They had a bit of a disappointing end of the season, but they had some problems with injuries and small roster size and did not qualify for the conference tournament, which I believe is this weekend. But they ended the year with a win, looked good in their victory over Marymount, and it was fun to see the guys at basically at full strength. They finally had everyone back from injuries, and it was just nice to see them end on that way, ended on a very solid note. So a solid ending to the year, a decent year, and I know that Coach Don Porter is excited to get out there and get his first recruiting class in here and continue to build things up over on the volleyball side. The golf teams have been playing all right. I think that both teams have played better in the fall than in the spring. It just takes a little bit to get to back up to speed. And both of them just have one more event left in the coming days, whether it be this weekend or Monday and Tuesday in the case for the men, before their ODAC championships. And so that is right around the corner for them. So they've got one more warm-up. The track and field teams, same boat. They've got one more event left before the ODAC championship, so it's our next weekend. We had a pretty exciting finish. Hannah Chapel Dick has been running very well this spring. Of course, she went to nationals last year as part of cross country. And this year she's trying to get back to nationals in one of her running events. I think 800 is usually considered her strongest event. And she had a great finish last weekend. Of course, I forget the exact time off the top of my head, but she broke her school record that she'd set last year by about a quarter of a second. And entering this weekend, she actually has the second fastest time in the nation in the 800 meters. So very exciting. And Coach Jason Lukowitz said, you know, I'm sure that other people will pass her in the coming weeks, but he thinks that time alone might be enough to qualify in the top numbers, how many they take, that it might be enough to qualify for nationals just with that one. They're hoping to get a faster time in the coming weeks as well for her. But so a good chance that hopefully Hannah can make a trip to nationals now in track as well. And we'll see what our jumpers can do as well. It's been a lot of fun on the men's side see Jordan King and Drew Vorlich, just to kind of go back and forth. And Jordan has, we've talked about Jordan before, with him not even having ever done the high jump before last year, and now he's won three consecutive ODAC jumping titles in the indoor and outdoor seasons. So he's just kind of come out of nowhere, but Drew just kind of, I feel bad for Drew. He's a great jumper and just kind of gets left in the shadows because everyone sees this great story with Jordan. And Drew went out and broke the EMU record for the high jump the other week. And so now he's got actually in the outdoor, he's got the highest jump in the outdoor season so far in the ODAC. And our two jumpers are number one and two in the ODAC right now. So I just think that's going to be a fun ODAC championships as well, watching Drew and Jordan. I mean, I know they're competing with everyone else, but they're almost kind of competing with just each other to see who's going to win the crown. And hopefully we'll send one or both of those guys to the national meet as well.
Well, I know they're definitely looking forward to that possibility and opportunity to qualify for that. Some of the qualifications won't be known until right towards the end. So some are going to stick around after graduation. It was interesting to, well, Vorlich has more years ahead of him. Jordan's done this year, so he'll have his time. But it's going to be interesting, as Coach Lukowicz said to me, you know, what will happen with Jordan, because now he's actually being pushed. And in fact, the last time passed on up and he no-heighted, Jordan no-heighted, and Drew, I think, won it, or at least, you know, surpassed him. And so now he's got to come back again. It's one of the things that I talked to Jordan about was it just seems like he said, I just don't think about it. I just go up and jump. And there about two meets ago, I think he jumped well over, certainly would have been qualifying time, and he was well over the bar and just tipped it with his finger, which he said, I've never had my finger in that position. So I asked him the question, you know, are you going to start thinking about form more now? Or are you just going to, no, I'm just going to keep on jumping. Well, now I'm beginning to wonder, because he goes out and he no heights. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he does. He loves the big meets. He loves when there's a lot of competition, when there's people pushing him. And I'm hopeful that he just gets the form in his head, so he's not thinking about the form as he goes up for his jump, because that may be part of the reason. So a couple of opportunities yet to come. And of course, we all know it's got to all fall together, and some days you have it and some days you don't. And clearly the last time wasn't his day. And so they'll be looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Well, baseball and softball, both at home this weekend. And I'm just already thankful that I think we're going to have incredible weather this weekend.
Unbelievable.
Well, it is unbelievable. I don't think we've had it yet this year. We've had a couple of nice days, but we're finally going to be up in the 70s, and we finally will get baseball and softball weather here. And it's perfect timing, because both teams are having all their recognitions this weekend. There's three home events on campus. If you get a chance, come to any or all of them. Saturday should be a lot of fun. Both teams, baseball and softball, are actually hosting Virginia Wesleyan College. Baseball will start their doubleheader at 12. Softball starts theirs at 1 o'clock. And both of them will precede their doubleheaders with some recognition ceremonies. For baseball, it's their last weekend home date of the year, so they're doing their senior recognition on Saturday, and a good handful of very impactful seniors on the team this year, so it'll be fun to celebrate those guys beforehand. And then at 1 o'clock on the softball field, they still have a Sunday doubleheader, so Saturday they'll do their parents recognition, and they always do a parents recognition, so we'll do that first. So you got a chance to catch both of those recognitions before the start of what should be two very competitive contests, both fields. And then Sunday the softball team returns home, plays Randolph Macon, a 1:30 start. They'll do their senior recognition on Sunday with two seniors. But again, both of them have been four-year starters. And I think it's a fun story for softball. Brooke Hensley and Molly Smith, they both are from Elkton, both played at Spotswood High School. I mean, these young women have been playing together for years, and they are wrapping up, finally, you know, their playing experience together from this aspect. They've been playing together for a long time, and so it'll be fun to celebrate them as well on Sunday. But both teams playing quite well. I'm not going to try to recap the last couple of weeks, but both of them playing pretty solid. The baseball team just picked up their 16th win Thursday night at Southern Virginia, and the 16th win gives them the most wins in program history since 2002, which is a long time ago, suddenly. I keep forgetting that's actually 12 years ago, but those are the Eric Kratz years. So that's Eric's last year. I think they had 29 wins, and we haven't had, well, until last year, we hadn't had more than 14 wins in a season. Last year, we got 15, and now this year, we've got 16 with a few games left. So very nice to see Coach Spenspots building up the program, and he he knows that we're not a, you know, the number one team in the conference yet, but he knows that we're building in the right direction. And so it's fun to see, maybe it's just milestones that somebody in my office celebrates, but it's fun to watch them knocking down milestones. And the softball team also been playing quite well. The other week they went on the road and finished off the last two teams that were undefeated in ODAC play, Randolph and Lynchburg. They handed them both losses. And I think the softball race is going to be incredible, Dave.
I was going to say, I was just going to make a comment that it's, yeah. I think everybody has split over the last 2 weeks,
yeah.
top or bottom, whatever it is. I think I looked this morning or something, there's like eight teams that have six wins and seven losses.
Yeah.
There's like four ties for second place or something.
There's 11 teams in the conference. Virginia Wesleyan is clearly on top, and Sweetbriar is at the bottom. And then you've got the other nine teams fighting for basically seven playoff spots. And you're right. I don't have it memorized today, but I know that as of like 2 days ago, all nine of those teams were literally within two games of each other. And so you pick up a doubleheader sweep and you can go from ninth place to second place. Not quite that drastic, but pretty close. And so you know that two really good teams are going to get left out of the playoffs at the end of the year.
Well,
so
and a lot is going to happen all at one time. We play two doubleheaders here on the weekend. Most other teams are making up things and they've got two doubleheaders. So, you know, everybody's knocking out four games. Monday's going to be a pretty interesting day to look and see where things shake out. On the men's side with the baseball team, again, you're right. Slow strides being made, certainly competitive. Players are indicating they're learning a lot. They're developing. Ben just lost a couple of arms that he thought he was going to have. A couple of kids that came and then decided that they didn't want to play, and so he knows that the margin of error is pretty slim in terms of that. And so, but they're coming, and he sees it, and it's going to be a little. It's going to be another year, but he's. I think the kids that he's got here, especially some of the freshmen, are really going to solidify, and then he adds to that, and we'll be in good shape. So, everything's going to come to a crashing halt here pretty soon. Baseball is going to have to pretty well win out to make the conference, and I think that's going to be a pretty hard stretch for them. We are next week. We are going to unveil the plans for the renovations of the baseball field. Try to get that that project underway if we can. New dugouts and backstop with some seating in there. Press box on top of first base. So come on out if you're in the area. Take a look at it. We'll have the photos out there on Tuesday when we host Bridgewater.
Yeah.
If it's rained out, it's looking like it's going to go to Good Friday. Don't quote me on that, but we have our banquet on Monday night, so we can't play then. And either EMU or Bridgewater has games. Games Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, so it would have to go to Friday. So keep posted on that one, but when you have a chance, we'll keep them up for a while so you see what we have in plan in store for the baseball field. So, well, that's a general wrap-up. We could have got into a lot of other things that are going on. So far, the EMU athletes have not decided to try to unionize, so we're in good shape there. We don't have to deal with that. But anyway, we're looking forward to finishing the season on a high note of everybody working hard. Again, a lot of kids still looking to see if they want to come to EMU. I know Dom Porter's headed, volleyball's headed up to see the season up in Pennsylvania and got a lot of good stuff in there. So while we're celebrating all the kids we have here, we're certainly looking forward to all the kids that are going to come in and experience EMU athletics in a special way. Thanks for joining us this week. Until we talk again, make it a great week.